Do you enjoy a tipple? Maybe mid-afternoon, maybe on the course, maybe early morning. If you do, and you don't want to lug the bottle around with you, and you're looking for the perfect vessel to tote around your finest beverage of choice, head over to ragproper.com. That's ragproper.com for the original modern glass flask. I'm sure you all are familiar drinking out of the old metal, stainless, metallic. Just not good. It's not good for the booze. Head over to ragproper.com. Get yourself a modern glass flask. Tell them Birdies and Bourbon sent you. Are you looking for a special gift for that someone, for maybe just some random occasion? Go check out slabcigarclub.com. Their mission is to curate an unparalleled monthly experience, delivering cigars to aficionados and beginners alike. If you appreciate a good smoke, or you know somebody that does, be sure to go and check out slabcigarclub.com. Tell them you heard about it on the Birdies and Bourbon Show.
Make more birdies.
A bottle of bourbon, a little glass, and some ice.
This is not a tip. This is a prescription. Trust me. If you don't, you will fall out of bounds.
Welcome to Birdies and Bourbon. Sit down and have a sip.
Welcome back to the Birdies and Bourbon Show. Dan, you know what we're going to be missing on this show?
What's that?
Midget wrestling and a midget kiss band live from Las Vegas.
Hey, I'm all for it. Let's do it. Bring it back.
I'm all for midget wrestling, especially if there's a midget kiss band in the background.
100%.
Showing us what's happening, man. I love that. Allegedly.
Allegedly
on today's show, midget kiss band, Scotty Scheffler, the greatest golfer of all time. Nelly Korda, she will not be attending the Olympics in a swimming event. I don't know. The most exciting thing in golf, Liv, they're headed back to Australia for what I would call the greatest showdown under.
Absolutely.
But before we get into what just occurred in Hilton Head over the weekend, Dan.
Yeah.
Let's just say that your golf club. Should I bring up what golf? I'm not going to bring up what golf club did this over the weekend. The men's invitational. Let's just say there are several members of the PGA Tour that are members, allegedly members at said golf club.
Okay.
Let's say they're on mountain time. let's just say that their time doesn't spring forward nor fall back.
Mm.
But allegedly for the men's invitational, they had the midget connection going on. I think the midget kiss band was from Vegas. You know how I have a fondness for smaller people. But anyway,
I know.
Just saying.
It's true.
And I had some things forwarded to me. Let this be a lesson. Pro tip: if something gets forwarded, and it could be taken down, screenshot.
Oh, yeah.
Screenshots are your friend.
Grab
whether
that.
You manipulate them or not, mm-hmm. you gotta get a snippet.
Mm-hmm.
Snippet. Not sponsored by Snippet, by the way. I think the only thing they were missing was MGK.
Oh yeah.
I think there were rappers, there was a stage. I didn't get any pictures, maybe no photos during the midget wrestling. Not sure what's going on there. But I mean, this is a pretty prestigious club. So my question for you, Dan, is if you were a midget wrestler, my question for you is, how would you feel if you'd moved into said club, joined said club, you're living in the community, and let's face it, things evolve, right? I mean, things do change over time.
Yep.
Look at the PGA Tour and live. Look at what's happening here. I mean, how would you feel if all of a sudden you're showing up to the Men's Invitational and you've got a stage at the club, you've got rappers going after it, you see these little people gearing up with face paint and the tall boots, and one of them's got a long tongue. Where do you even find somebody like that with a long tongue? That's what I want to know.
Good point.
How would you feel? How would this make you feel about your club?
Oh, I'd love it. You know I'd love it. I'm all for it. I know you think you want to join.
Twice. Can I join again?
Yeah.
If you were a midget wrestler, would you go for the leotard, or would you just go for the briefs? You know, the leotard with like the straps and the onesie kind of thing, or would you go for just the briefs?
The leotard for sure. Yeah.
Leotard. Mm-hmm. Okay, you go leotard.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You got one in the mail. It's gonna have a logo on it, kind of like this. It's
love it. I like that sweatshirt there. Yeah,
Little
hoodie.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks. You can find those at birdiesbourbon.com.
Nice.
Shameless plugs are
shameless
warranted.
Plugs.
Warranted.
Good looking gear though. Yeah.
No shame in this. What about my hat? You like my hat?
I like the hat too. Yep. I recognize
right.
that hat.
So it's some people are going to look at this and they're going to say, you must have got that when you're out in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
No.
We know where that comes from.
I got this straight from the Sequatchie Valley Driving Range.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know.
Exactly.
All right. Enough of this tomfoolery, Dan. Let's get to business.
Did you want me to show you a piece of apparel you probably haven't seen yet that you'd like to see?
Of course I would.
Can we do that? I mean, I was going to do it for you later in the show, but since you started with the apparel,
Let's
I
go
started
ahead and
with
do
the apparel.
Okay. Is this a?
It's
is
a friend of the show.
Wrestling.
It's a friend of the show.
Wrestling. Is he a doctor or does he play one in the Dominican Republic?
No. None of that.
Okay. All right.
This is your favorite person of all time, and a friend of the show. The brand is a friend of the show. Ready?
I love this. Love this. Oh, I do love this. I hope you've ordered one of these. By the way, just in case you're not, in case you're just listening to the pod, you're not looking at these beautiful people on YouTube. Dan is showing me. This did pop up in a feed. It's Cricket Apparel, and I guess in honor of 420. Roll me up and smoke me when I die. They've got the Outlaw limited edition classic players shirt, and they've got a little Willie image.
You got to get one of these.
I do. You're right. I do have to get one. I was waiting until after 420. I was hoping they would go on.
Maybe
they'll send us a discount.
Maybe they
discount
will.
Code for the show.
Maybe.
I do love the shirt though.
Mm-hmm.
I do love that. Would who knows? Next thing you know, I'll get a tattoo of Willie Nelson. You never know. Crazier things have happened. Can't show those things on YouTube, Dan. You know they'll take us down again, just like they did last.
I know.
Like they did last summer after that one event. Forgive me.
Yeah.
Before we got into all this nonsense, we should have opened up with a little, would you like to say the blessing? Because clearly, somebody on the PGA Tour has clearly been blessed.
Nelly Korda.
What is it down by the creek? Walking on water?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, when does it end? That everybody on the PGA Tour has got to be so tickled.
Oh, tickled.
Just ecstatic.
Ecstatic.
Or one Scotty the Pope Scheffler.
Well, that's your nickname for him. I have a different one.
Oh, what's your nickname for him?
For him, I call him Dive Bar Scotty.
Father Scheffler. Father Deacon Deacon
Dive
Scheffler.
Dive Bar Scotty.
Dive Bar Scotty. Dive Bar Deacon Scheffler. When's it going to stop? Listen, Thursday came about. Okay. Friday, it's like, oh no. Saturday, it's like, oh shit. Mm. And then Sunday, Sunday, and I don't know. I mean, it's a phenom. Is this Tiger Woods born again? Have they rolled the stone out of the way? And has Tiger Woods arisen?
I think so, man. I don't know when it
ends.
Take
a different form.
I don't know when it ends. You know, the footwork and everything else is getting worse, and he keeps winning more. And before he knows, he'll be falling down when he's swinging. It reminds me of Bryce. We got to get some of these swing coaches back on the air and see their thoughts on this footwork. You know, Tattersall,
Good point. Good point.
I saw Justin Thomas was being interviewed on Saturday or Sunday after his round. And he said, I think something along the lines, did you see this? Like, with all due respect, I think Scotty's playing like a boring game. Something along those lines, right? And it made me think, is everybody calls Scotty boring, and I call him boring because he is boring. But I also think that some of the greats are boring. Federer was pretty boring in tennis because he didn't make mistakes, and then he capitalized on your mistakes. Or when he had an opportunity, he took advantage of the opportunity. That's what Scotty's doing, right? It's tee to green. And then if he can capitalize, get the birdie, the eagle, whatever, he's capitalizing on it. It's not very difficult to him right now.
I mean, he makes it look easy. He's busting fairways down the middle, chip ins galore. Mm-hmm. But what is that, a tartan jacket? I mean, he's the kind of guy that would wear a tartan jacket.
Oh, yeah.
I bet he's like, wow, Meredith, look at this tartan jacket. I don't even have to give it back.
You don't have to give it back. I can wear it to the dive bar.
You can't wear it to a dive bar. Let's see. So I was chatting with a friend of the show, and we were talking about various things. Currency, and basically, what did he get to? He said, I'm going to paraphrase, but essentially it was like, believe it or not, there was a time when he thought Tiger made Sundays a little less, and he didn't say boring, he just said less interesting, because he was just going to dominate. And I mean, I think Scotty is absolutely doing that today, he's making it less interesting.
Yeah.
And I mean, unless you're just watching, second place, and in that case, maybe they ought to take that drone and instead of flying it over the marsh over 18,000 frickin' times, maybe they ought to zoom around and let us look at some other people. Well, why don't we follow Patrick Cantlay around, who can't finish a round of golf within reason? We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second. But I don't know. I mean, is there? So does the kid slow him down, or does the kid? Is it going to instill this flame that's already boiling hot? Boiling the ocean, as they say. I mean, he was right there beside of it. What are we going to get?
So I think we talked about it last week. Maybe I talked off the air with somebody about it. But before the Masters, he was with his buddies on that Sunday having breakfast and doing whatever they do. And he said, I wish I didn't.
Small group.
I wish I didn't care as much, you know. Like, he automatically doesn't think about golf as his number one reason or whatnot, you know, for getting up and doing what he does. He said, I wish he didn't care as much, because he doesn't want to win that much, right? So I don't know how it's going to impact him. I don't think it's going to change him. I don't think his values are aligned like Jordan Spieth's or Rory's or Justin Thomas's. I think that his values are aligned differently, and it's something we haven't seen in a long time.
Good take. I think that's that could very well be true. I mean, maybe he is not playing to win. Maybe he's just out there playing, and it's just happening because he's not pressuring himself to put on another jacket. I mean, he's going to have to get another claw. Well, the good news is he didn't get to take the way. Do you get to take the Masters jacket back home with you again, or is that like a one-time deal?
I think it's the first year. I think you get with it, right?
Even if you're a multi-time winner.
Yeah, the year you win, you get it for the year, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know when. So we won't see him this week. We may not see him again until.
I know.
I mean, so the kid's gonna be here.
Yeah.
And the next elevated event will be the week before the PGA Championship. In Valhalla. So is that our next glimpse of the chef?
I'm trying to get to Wells in a couple of weeks, and I was hoping he'd be there. I have not seen Scotty in a while, and I don't know if he's going to be there though.
I don't even Maybe nursing.
Maybe nursing. Yeah.
We'll have to board games under the age of five. You have to have to bring it back. Bring it back. Or for the young one.
Bring it back.
Favorite family pastime. What's your favorite board game, by the way, Dan?
I don't know if I have a favorite board game. I think it's Texas Hold'em.
Mine's the one where you bet, where you know, like $10 for 10 pulls. You bet $10 and you do the little punch outs, see what you win after that. That's my favorite board game. The betting punch outs. Nelly Korda. Scotty Scheffler, four out of the five, one of them being a major. The other four. I guess one of the other three at that point is the Players Championship. Nelly Korda, five out of five, wins the first women's major of the year.
Yep.
So congratulations to her, by the way. Yep. Lots of cool things going on. I don't know if you saw the interview afterwards. She said, kind of like me after a long weekend on a Monday morning. She's like, "Whew, I'm feeling kind of queasy. I had the jitters coming down nine." Oh. So you can play well and still win even if you're nervous. Are they brother and sisters?
I think so. It's definitely the oldest male elf I've ever seen. It's 56 years old.
I'll give you that. Speaking of, I'm growing the beard out, by the way.
Oh, nice.
In case you couldn't tell.
I like it.
Scotty's growing. The beard's back, and he's winning. Yep. Maybe I'll win something with this freaking beard. Day,
good point.
Maybe.
I think you will.
Even if it's the $10 punch out. You know, you got to punch the little... Punch the ribbons out. So would you agree with me that the LPGA, the PGA and LPGA are they're related?
Oh yeah.
Associations.
100%. Yeah.
Yep. And the LPGA is somewhat governed by the PGA.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Clearly, it's to me. I mean, this is like a Tarantino movie, which I love Tarantino, by the way. That's a bad example. But I'm going to go with it just to make the point. There's one script writer, and they're writing the same friggin' script, and it couldn't be more boring. Mm-hmm. Number two, why do you have a women's major with a four-time winner competing in the women's major, potentially becoming a five-time winner, mm-hmm. and at five in a row, mind you, competing against a PGA signature event?
Good point.
I didn't flip over. The only time I flipped over to the LPGA event was when I think I was flipping. I was back and forth between the race and it was Talladega. Back and forth between Talladega and the PGA. And I accidentally clicked LPGA, and I immediately went back to the PGA to find that they were still on a rain delay on Sunday, mm-hmm. and I immediately went back to the NASCAR race.
Oh wow! Didn't think it was a
LPGA.
Major.
I'm confused. I'm very confused as to why they're doing it like that. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why they're not having these on. Did they not tell the LPGA Tour what was going on? Did they not tell them that they had planned a signature event right after the Super Bowl of the PGA Tour?
Good point.
Did nobody send a signal?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Clearly, they didn't. Clearly.
But good for her. That's a big accomplishment. Five in a row is good.
It is. Yep. And a major.
That
player that this weekend anointed the PGA Tour Player of the Year and the LPGA Tour Player of the Year. What else do people have to play? What else do players on their respective leagues have to play for?
So it's a good point. And I want to kind of... circle back to the earlier conversation.
Billy Horschel?
No. You said, you know, I'm going to go back to Mountain Time for a minute. And if you see one of your largest competitors that's going to win five times in a row, do you distract all the people at your club by hiring a bunch of midgets?
midget wrestling and midget kiss band. Maybe. I don't. Liv's tried it. I don't know. I mean, they've tried the distractions.
I'm thinking about Rambo for a minute. You know, like he's watching this, like, oh my God. You know, like,
It's possible. It's possible.
You think he threw something on Sunday? Damn, I could have been me out there.
Well, he probably was at the event.
I know.
I expect he played the men's invitational. I expect he invited somebody. What if you didn't tell someone that? What if you said, "Hey, you want to play with me in the men's invitational at the club?"
Yes, I do.
And it's like, oh my God, I'd love to do. Oh, I mean, no. You got to let's go through this.
Okay,
And I'm going to need some fucking enthusiasm. Hey, Dan. Men's Invitational's coming up. Would you like to play with me?
Oh, my gosh. Of course I would. Yes, of course. What time do you need to be there?
Okay. So, well, I'll send you the details. Okay. I just wanted to make sure you're in.
I'll get a setup. 100% I'm in.
I'll get a setup.
This is
going
to be fantastic.
See, all this, everything. And then can you imagine stepping foot on the grounds and then you look around and you see no one? Until you look down about 3 feet and then you see everyone.
Oh, I love it. Gosh, I gotta get some videos.
I had videos. Well, allegedly I had videos. That screenshot. Pro tip. If you get incriminating information sent to you electronically, screenshots. Or save it. Do something. Unless it's of me and then delete it immediately. Okay. Let me look at it first. that's a hell of a lot more exciting than what's going to be going on in Louisiana this week. That's for damn sure.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one thing that could bring this this little tournament back down on the bayou. Yeah. Wow. So Scotty gets it done. Bringing it on back. Nelly gets it done. She's got to work on keeping her legs together, though. And it's a little, a bit of a splash.
Oh, the cannonball!
Bit of a splash. So how would you the cannonball? Was the cannonball the appropriate move? What was the?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Big splash.
I mean, I don't know what's in there, right? I mean,
yeah, that's the right move.
You don't want to
hit
your head.
She was like the fifth person to jump in, but yeah, that's the right move. Yeah,
you don't want to hit your head. Well, she was still nervous. She didn't want to. It's like eating. You got to wait 15 minutes after you eat. You don't want to get a cramp.
Good point. What would Scotty have done?
Well, he would have prayed about it, and he'd have gotten an answer, and he'd have followed direction.
Come on, Scotty, let's go dive in the lake. I'm going to the dive bar.
I've prayed a lot of dive bars. I can tell you that. That's one of my favorite things to do at a dive bar, actually. One of.
So last week, about this time, we were on the air, and then like between when we were on the air at 5-ish on Monday, and when I woke up on Tuesday morning, there was rumors galore that Rory was going to sign with Liv for $800 million. But then Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, Rory says he's going to play the rest of his life on the PGA Tour. Where did all these rumors come from? It was everywhere.
Oh, remind me, we got to talk a little watches and wonders after this thing. I got some stuff posed to me about some watches and some interesting. Someone was giving me the facts about some things about anyway. Okay. Well, clearly the golfing world does not do a good job of keeping a lid on things.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Well,
So there's got to be something to it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't acknowledge. At least I didn't see that they'd offered him any money or they'd made any. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has, you know, previously he said, oh yeah, they've made some offers, done some certain things. But I didn't see anything other than just the hearsay. And I mean, we've heard a lot of golfers. We've heard, in fact, we've heard McIlvoy say things about the PGA Tour before, and it didn't necessarily, might have been misrepresented. Now, was he misinformed? Maybe. But there's, I think there is such a thing as too much transparency.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's also a thing that's just being completely misleading and not stating the facts. And I don't know that he's, I think that to say that he's going to play on the PGA Tour for the rest of his life. Will there be a PGA Tour for the rest of his life?
Good point.
I think there may be the resemblance of, I think there will be a golf tour that professionals go and tee it up and compete. Will it be the PGA Tour? I would be very surprised if it is the PGA Tour.
Interesting. Could it have been a test balloon? To gauge the public reaction?
To take the temperature?
Yeah. To see, hey, you know, if we float this out there, let's gauge public reaction. From there, we can steer and shape how we want to announce it or shape what it's going to look like. Maybe it was a test balloon to just gauge public reaction and then maybe have Jay move a little bit more towards this merger.
I was thinking about having Jay move out completely.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah.
That guy, you know how they say you ought to just go out on Brett Favre. Great, I think is a great example. Yeah. Brett Favre, he could have gone out on top and he could have sailed that baby right on down the line and just been done. But instead, he made different decisions. Now, I'm a Favre fan, but and maybe there's more recent examples that you're aware of. Who's the pitcher, the Dodgers pitcher?
Bad example. People that just published it and left on a high note. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, who should have left on a high note? Yeah. What about Charlie Hustle?
Charlie Hustle left
on a high note.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just, it's kind of like, here's a good one.
Belichick.
What about Belichick? He got passed around and handed around. I mean, I don't know. Did he take advantage of? Did he fly private? Did he? Where did he go? Where did he go to Bacchanalia while he was in Atlanta and for dinner? I want to know. I mean, inquiring minds. I want to know if he took full advantage of his time away from the fam.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe you just get out of there.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Jay?
Yeah.
Jay! They got to do something, though. I mean, because it continues to under-deliver. And here's the other thing, is what Scheffler's doing is... by the way, do you know the record for the most wins in a PGA Tour season?
It's not much higher, much lower than probably five or six. I mean, no, higher than five or six. I'd say probably six or seven. Is that right?
Should have seen me on 420. I was as high as I could get. It is. What golfer do you think owns this record? I can give you the numbers.
Probably Tiger.
It is Tiger, and it's nine.
Nine. Wow, I was wrong. Okay.
So Scheffler is he's like almost halfway there.
Jeez,
it's early. I don't think that it's unforeseen. I don't think it's too early to go ahead and make the bet.
I don't either. Ooh, that's a good one. We should probably bet on that.
I don't think it's too early to make the bet.
Mm-mm.
Now the grand, you know, to go Grand Slam. I don't know that it's going to come in that fashion.
Right.
But I don't think it's too early to make the bet that he at least ties.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there a lot of variables are coming into play. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Liv or the alleged merger that they're talking about, partnership, whatever you want to frame it up as, coalition. You know, you've got the Liv guys that are going to show up at the majors, a handful of them, not all of them. So don't know what that looks like, but Yeah, I would probably bet yes. I mean, it's I don't think the odds are high, but I think there's a chance. I mean, I think there's better than a chance. Pending an injury, I think there's better than a chance.
Okay. You want to talk a little, before we move on to the Zurich, you want to talk a little Cantlay finishing around, and then we probably need to talk a little Horschel, your favorite character. We could probably do both in the same kind of vein.
So I wore my Horschel hat. Yeah. All right. So if you were watching, I'm sure other people have talked about it. But so we had a lot of weather delays on Sunday at Harbortown.
Yep.
And Cantlay elects to play through. I know he played through Poston's group. I think he played through another group too, because I think they had the option to stop. He plays through. He hits a shot on 18. And it comes into play. I mean, it winds up. It's getting dark. It's not warm. And he hits a shot, and it's kind of on the fringe. Could he putt it? Could he do something? Yeah, he could do a lot of things. He elects to not finish the round. Yeah. Not finish the round. One shot. He elects to not finish the round, and he bags it. Says no. Granted, he finishes T3. And cards a 68, but I'm like, shit, man. I mean, we're gonna show back up for one shot after you played through all these groups.
Yeah,
that's how this is gonna go down. Indeed, yes, that's the way it went down.
Yeah.
Psychopath, sociopath. I don't. So
give me all the above.
So here's what somebody had asked today. A lot of people have been asking a lot of questions. Mm. A lot of casual golf fans. Now I'm not a trusted resource, mind you. You should never come to me for any professional advice. However, they said, what would have been better? Would it have been better if Patrick Cantlay would have won the RBC? And I promptly said, hell no. Mm. And they said, well, who would it have been? Well, that's an interesting question. So who did anybody really have a chance? No, not really. But you could have, the folks that were closest to in play, at least T3 or better. Let's go T5 or better. How about that? Sepp Straka, Patrick Rogers, JT Poston, Justin Thomas, sneaky, by the way, sneaky little T5. Yeah, didn't hear much out of him. Patrick Cantlay, Wyndham Clark, Sahith Theegala, and then of course the winner, Scottie Scheffler. I mean, are any of those names? Are you just juicy about any of those names, man? That's the guy that I want to win.
No. Mm-mm. Nope.
And I
told you the Roars was a fade. I told you he doesn't like that place. Couldn't wait to get the hell out of Dodge, probably.
Well, I mean, he's going to the armpit of the Estados Unidos, and I'm just saying, if the world ever got an enema, you know where it'd be released at? Right down there in the Gulf of Mexico. You've been to Bourbon Street. You know it smells like shit down there. It doesn't matter if it's Mardi Gras or not. It's a stinker. I mean, is there anybody that's of interest? Anybody that you're like, oh my God, I can't wait for that one. If I'm looking at it, I'm like, Sahith, maybe.
Dav's getting a little roll. He gave a little bit of a roll on, what, Saturday? But, yeah, or whatever day it was, and he faded fast.
Faded fast. Fast fader. You know who I would have liked to have seen win it?
Billy Horschel.
Fan fave. Big fan right here. Mm-hmm. Big fan. Mm-hmm. Big fan. And I'm a little upset that he didn't wear the doctor's uniform on Sunday, the entire round. Did you see the outfit that they dressed him up in?
Oh, yeah. I don't think I have a picture.
Yeah, I mean, it just... Hey, number one, congratulations, Billy Horschel. You know what? Showing up and getting it done, grinding it out. You know, nothing but wind. He'll be making an appearance in Louisiana this week. So something to be said there. I mean, 37-year-old Florida Gator, Billy Horschel. Just get out there, getting it done, dressing up, playing doctor with the boys down in out at Corrales, Punta Cana.
Absolutely.
Not a big fan, by the way. I would rather I'd rather Scotty Scheffler win. Nobody's talking about that either, by the way. No. Nobody gives a shit that Billy Horschel won anything.
No, it's true.
Nobody. But I don't know. Maybe he goes back to. I mean, why not stay on theme and just go back to back wins? I mean, he could get it done this week, I guess.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's won at this course before. Why couldn't he?
100%. 100%. Should we head there? Should we head to Louisiana? Is there anything else to cover on the old G side?
No. That was probably way too much on this crap. Anyway, it's not in a good place. I mean, I'm in a great place. I'm saying golf is if you thought, do you think the PGA thinks that golf fans are stupid?
Yes.
I do too.
I think they could be right. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I just think that they're in a really tough spot. They don't know what to do. You know, they need to bring in the wolf.
They do need to bring in the wolf. All right, heading to the Zurich Classic. Guess what, Daniel? It is heat dye season. We're at TPC Louisiana, back to back heat dye golf courses. They played it here for a while. It's going to play just over 7,400 yards, a par 72. We've got those sweet Bermuda greens that they're going to be busted on. I think we got some money on the line. Unfortunately, there are no, at least in anything that we're playing in, there are no one and dones this week. Any of the little fun games that the Destroying Daylight podcast guys, Chasing Daylight podcast guys, have involved us in, which I definitely got. I've been drinking when I accepted that. By the not the great podcast, go check them out. Chasing Daylight podcast,
absolutely love those guys.
Great guys. Yeah. But they did dupe me into this. What I thought was a one and done. I thought we had clearly agreed that it was going to be a one and done, and they said they do things different out in Viva. So, like midget wrestling, they do things different in Vegas, like Kiss midget bands. And I don't, let me, before we go on, let me, I don't know that I should apologize yet because I don't think that I've said anything inappropriate. Can we still call it like midget wrestling and midget bands? I have not seen it addressed as little people wrestling. I think they still call it midget wrestling.
Is that a dwarfs maybe, but yeah.
No. That's two completely different things. This is different. Okay. Totally different.
Hey, I'm okay with it. I don't think they're going to mind. They don't care. They're trying. I think by you calling it that, you're helping them out. It actually gives it more more edge, you know, which they're looking for because they want eyes. They want to make money, right?
They do want eyes.
Can you imagine the vig on a Kiss midget cover band? How much the Kiss actually has to get paid for that?
It's got to be healthy. Where do they find the little fellow with that tongue at? And how many of those do you think there are? I've never seen one, by the way.
Me either.
However, I was in Tucson, Arizona this one time, and I went to this bar, and it's called, I swear, I want to say it was called Treasure Island. And we go wheeling up in there. We just left like this motorcycle rally concert kind of thing. I thought I was going to get shanked. I did not. But then we happen upon this midget bar, and there's like a bar over here for people that aren't short. And then there's this, I'm not tall, by the way, and then there's a place over here where it's literally, the bar is like, the top of the bar is 3 foot tall, and the stools are low. Best damn thing I've ever seen in my life. I embrace it. I say party on.
Party on, nice.
Previous winners and runner-ups of this event, Dan. Let me try and go through this pretty quick. I know you've got plenty of places to be. Not really. Nick Hardy and Davis Riley won last year. Runner-up Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor. Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele won in 22. Runner-up Sam Burns, Billy Horschel. Ooh, the year, listen to this, the year of the live, 2021. Mm-hmm. Mark Leishman, mm-hmm. Cam Smith mm-hmm. wins the event. Mm-hmm. Runner-up, Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel in a playoff.
Yep.
Year of the live.
Year of the live.
Who else is here? You want to live it again? Oh. Except for Ryan Palmer, John Rahm, winner in 2019. Fleetwood and Garcia, runner-up. Billy Horschel and Scott Piercy won in 2018. Runner-up Duffner and Pat Perez. I can clearly see why these guys have gone to live. I mean, they are they're team sport guys. Mm-hmm. They're like, why aren't we playing a team sport when it's being offered to us right here? We should take advantage of this. All right, so we got four balls. We got four ball and alternate shot. Set Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There is a cut line. I think this is one of the largest fields of the year. I think we're going to take the top 33 teams and ties. And I have no idea how we're going to play this. I have no idea. Well, I've got some idea how we're going to bet it. We'll see where that gets us soon.
Remember one year this DJ and Rory were supposed to play together. I think it was the COVID year. I still want to see that pairing.
You will as soon as Rory accepts the.
Rory's going to be on DJ's team.
as soon as he accepts the money, as soon as they get the check.
I think I'm closer. Seeing a DJ Tiger pairing at Augusta than I am a DJ Rory pairing.
All right, you want to finger out a lineup here?
Yeah, let's do one. Let's do one.
So you pick one, you get the other. I think that all the players.
This is the only place we get to take Cantlay twice.
It is the only place you can take Cantlay twice. And maybe that's the play. I don't think we need to go there, even though they've won the event before. But I think there's some sneakier plays down the line.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts are, we start out at $9,200. In the formidable team that was runner up last year. I think that's a bet also in Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin.
I like it.
I think that's a start.
Which one? Do we just take either one of them? Or?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're all the same price. Okay. And there's no one and done or any of that jazz this week. So where are we going? Do we stay with the theme? Do we stay with the hot hand and roll Horschel and Alexander out? Is that do we stick with that or do we go somewhere else?
Horschel likes this place. He's hot.
He does like it. He is hot.
Let's come back to it though. Let's come back to it.
All right. Come back to it. So I do think we drop just below there. These guys have both have played. They haven't played here together that I'm aware of. They have both played well here on different teams, but I think we've got a pairing here, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've got a Mitchell and a Dahman mm-hmm. pairing that could be a force and could be a bet. By the way, Mitchell was sixth here last year with Sun JM, and I don't know. I saw Dahman earlier. He is. Where's our friend Dahman? Where's Dahman? I swear I just saw him. He definitely played here last year. He was 11th, T11 last year with Denny McCarthy. I think that's a play for me. Is that a play for you?
Denny McCarthy?
No. Damon and Mitchell.
Yeah, you said Damon McCarthy there. I'm like, what? I mean, you're talking about Dahman.
Damon played. Oh, with,
played
McCarthy
with McCarthy
last year.
That's right. That's right.
T11.
Yeah. No, I like that play a lot. I like the Keith Mitchell play a lot. Yeah.
Another guy that I'm liking a lot here is, let me see what his partner did. He's at 8,600. All right.
Do you think, well, can we pause real quick?
We can do whatever you like.
With Joel Daman, do you think that Keith could help him with his attire?
I think he'll try.
I mean, the best dressed man in golf, Keith Mitchell. And you got Joel.
It's what hashtag Sid Mashburn says.
Exactly. And so did Scotty. So did Dive Bar Scotty said the same thing.
Dive Bar Scotty.
And I'm like, hey, maybe you can help him out a little bit. All right, where do you want to go next?
Well, we're eating into our funds here. So, you know where I want to go next? Let's see. What did they do last week? They've had to have played some golf together. One of the cooties placed T6 at Corrales Punta Cana. Pissing cootie finished T18 at Corrales Punta Cana at $6,600. I think the cooties
$6,600.
I think they're way to go.
Hold on, I want to get down here.
It is. It's $6,600 almost at the bottom, Dan.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think the cooties are. I think there's something to be said for the cooties, and that helps us out a lot. Take both cooties.
Yeah. All right.
So now this resets the board for us a little bit, if you will.
Yep.
Let's see. Where's Schwab? Schmid. So Schmid and Smalley. That could be some direction, but I don't think we need to go there yet. I like this Aaron Rye pairing.
How much?
$8,400.
Well,
Dave Lipsky and Aaron Rye. Well, when we go to 6,600, we get a big boost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Aaron Rye and Lipsky pairing are pretty interesting. They played here before, played well. And let's see, where's who's easier? Rye's easier to look for. And T13 here last year, same pairing. I think there's something.
So 8,400.
Yeah.
All right, I like the one just below it.
Talk to me.
Lipsky and not Lipsky. Gim and Kim. So we know Gim, his model ranked 8th in Fantasy National. Off shots off the tee, he's 18th and approach 17th, putting 49th. T43 last week, missed a couple cuts. He was T16 at the Players. And then you got Kim, who was T6 last week, T14 of Valero. Playing pretty good golf.
I'm
not saying we have to do it. Just keep it in mind.
No. I think let's plug it in and see where that leaves us.
All right.
Leaves us at $8,700, and now we can go at 86, and I quite like Sam Ryder and Bo Hostler.
Yep. Good point. I like it.
I think we can leave a hundo on the table, and I'm marking that a play.
Marking that a winner. All right. So I got to get back over to the other one. Zurich. What are we thinking for a winner? You liked it plus 4,000, right? Plus 4,000. You like Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin, right?
I like, yeah. I think that's a solid play.
All right. Jeez, plus 4,000 is a pretty good odd.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Who else do we like in this category? Mitchell and Damon are probably around 4,000, 4,500.
Same, right? Plus 4,000 as well.
I mean, here's the only thing. So if you want to get deeper, and I don't know that it's deeper enough. And who's deep here? You could go Ryan Lipsky. I mean, there. I see him 6,600.
I got a plus 5,000 here. Yeah.
Okay, plus 5,000. What are the cooties? Let's see what the cooties look like. The cooties are...
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
I mean, it's 20,000.
Okay.
I mean, playing the they've right? I mean, yeah. is it dumb? I don't know about dumb. Are there better bets out there? I don't know. Are you going to take Chapel and Duffner? I'll take the Cooties.
Where'd the Cooties place last year?
They didn't play last year. Oh, okay. But they were T8 and T16, I think, last week at Corrales Punta Cana. All right. And they're feeding off of each other.
Heck yeah. I got it. I'm good, man.
Yeah. Is there any... Yeah, I mean, it's a total crapshoot, right? Because, I mean, you've got the alt shot thing coming into this, so I don't know if there's anybody else that's really... Higo and Fox could be interesting at 6,500. I mean, if you wanted to get crazy, you could get a Horschel and Alexander get crazy at 5,000.
I want to go over to Liv. Let's go to Liv.
All right, let's go to Liv. Talk to me.
We got winner odds here. Let's see.
So we're Adelaide. Mm-hmm. Back down under. Here's where I'm at. Finished third here last year.
Hmm.
And I think the odds are pretty deep. Plus 3,100. Only golfer I see at plus 3,100.
To win. Who is it? Hal?
His caddy. Caddy's a friend of the show.
I don't. Oh, he's not.
He was T10 or better last. T10 or better.
I know Reed. Okay, I got my plus 2,500. Yeah.
I mean, I still think that's probably a bet.
Yeah, me too. All right.
I mean, can you bet against Neiman? I don't know. Gooch is at 1,400.
Is it Rom over there?
Who, Rom?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't play. He didn't look great at Augusta.
Yeah, I know.
And if he was at the men's invitational.
That's a good point.
You ever been to a midget packed event, Dan?
No, I haven't.
And you know what that does to a man's psyche?
Exactly.
It throws you off kilter a little, Dan. I don't know if you've ever been thrown off kilter, but. You know, after you wake up off of a stupor after getting up at like 2 a.m. to watch the Open Championship.
Oh yeah.
Played in Europe. Yeah. Well, that's kind of what it feels like. Feels like you reach over and grab that glass of warm bourbon that's been sitting on the nightstand for the past hour and a half. Just heating up.
Heating up.
Waiting to warm the soul. Warm the soul. All right, are we good there? I want to talk some watches and wonders. Do we have time to do that?
Yeah, sure, let's do it. All right, I got to shift gears here. But, yeah, where do you want to go first?
Well, so I had this genius. I shouldn't call him a genius. Friend of the show. He told me.
Yeah.
Let me re-ask the question.
Okay.
If you don't like watches and fancy shit, you should just tune off right now.
Sure. Yeah.
I gotta get a drink. So let me leave you with this.
All right.
And I gotta refresh. Bad planning. Before Watches and Wonders was. Would you consider Watches and Wonders the premier watch event of the year?
Yeah, it's 100%. It's their
Super Bowl. It's their Daytona. It's their Masters.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Prior to Watches and Wonders becoming at what you've just described, mm-hmm. what would you have considered the premier event in the watch world?
Basel World. whatever he's saying.
Oswald. Yeah. Tell people the difference for a second.
Well, it was all the brands, and they were all coming to Baselworld before. Everything's in Geneva and Switzerland. There was some brands that didn't like, I guess, the way things were going at that event. So it dismantled and it came back as Watches and Wonders. I think it's been 2 or 3 years now at as Watches and Wonders. But it was just some disagreements. Some brands dropped out of Baselworld before it got dismantled. And it just changed like it does over time. You know, it's a lot of there you go. A lot of moving parts with these brands, you know, a lot of brands get acquired. It's crazy. But yeah, now it's Watches and Wonders. Not everybody is there. I don't think Swatch Group is there. So yeah, just a lot of different things. There you go. Jack Daniel's 12.
Sipping on a little nice. Jack Daniel's 12 year limited release. My friend's bottle shop, they had a I wish I wouldn't have walked in there that day. They got me. By the way, I had a Woodford Reserve. I got their new Masters Collection 121.2. I'll send you some. I got Jack 10, Jack 12, the Woodford 121. All three solid buys. I'm not going to tell you how to rank them. I'll put some samples together and send them, and we'll go through these. We should probably wait and do Watches and Wonders. So we'll just do a tip.
Okay.
Just a tip of just.
I want to hear this. Cresting, I want to hear what you've been talking about. Yeah.
All right. So friend of the show says, well, LVMH. Wow. Yeah. They host. They're the primary and the front runner and the formidable host of Watches and Wonders. Wow. I said, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah. Don't think so. No, you don't understand. I'm like, well, maybe I don't. I do own a tag. That's the only watch under the portfolio that I own, or only brand that I own under their portfolio. I'm like, but I would say they probably have of the luxury. A luxury watch brand? Obnoxious enough thing to say as a luxury watch brand owner. I would say that they are probably the least represented at Watches and Wonders. Now, I've never been there, but I've seen a lot of videos, seen a lot of posts and articles, if you will, and that LVMH is probably the least represented as far as like when you consider who they are and a big name. I would say it. So he stood corrected after a few minutes. And I said, yeah, I mean, if you want to talk, I mean, let's talk about the Rolexes and the Tudors and the who else is there? The Omegas. Omega. Let's talk about Philippe. And after that, I mean, I think it's there are plenty of other luxury watch brands represented, but I mean, you could probably name like a top five, and that's 75% or more of kind of the talk of the town, right?
Yeah.
I bring that up to say, and I'm going to bleed this back over into the golf piece a little bit, in that, I mean, Rolex is the Rolex of the luxury golf brand, right? You don't even have to call them the Cadillac, right? They're the Rolex of the golf brand, luxury golf brand, or watch brand, excuse me.
Yep.
And I think that so the question was like, well, why do you think that is? And it's like, well, I think they do a really good job at managing their brand, right? And they don't really, they don't waver, right? There's no like, oh, hey, well, let's go down. Let's see what, no. When's the last time you heard about a leak from Rolex?
Never.
Horanek, right? A Man and His Watch. Go check out Matt Horanek, WM Brown Project, and got some great books out there. One of them being A Man and His Watch. And he talked to rewind and go back through our show, listen to the show we did with him when he's talking about A Man and His Watch and the what he had to give away to get into the depths of, you know, Rolex, right? It doesn't happen. Yeah. And they control they don't control the demand, but they do control everything else around it, which creates the demand. And I mean, second to none. I can't think of anyone in any industry that does a better job. I mean, maybe if I had to equate it to something, it would be the allocated bourbon world. And it's probably more accessible or accessible because there is a retail market for it, but not really. You know, it's and it's so few and far between. I mean, so I would say one go hand in hand with the other. All that being said, were there any highlights from Watches and Wonders, Dan, that that kind of stuck out to you?
I thought Tudor won it. I thought Tudor had some awesome releases this year. Rolex was boring. It was kind of a nothing year from Rolex on purpose. I'm sure it was on purpose. They know what the people want them to do. They know the changes that they can make. It's not a new watch. It's nothing like that. It's more colors and bezels and materials and things of that nature, right? They can do any of that stuff, and they can make it be like, oh man, that's awesome. I need that. They could have brought the Coke back, right? They didn't do that. They could have done something different with the GMT, different GMTs. They could have done something with the Explorer, maybe a little white dial. They didn't do anything like that, right? They know what people want. They didn't do any of it. They didn't care.
They did an 18 karat gold.
Yeah.
I think it was a green bezel.
Deep sea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, I mean, granted, there somebody wants that more than somebody, but there are people that want that. Yeah. I would never, even if I would never wear that.
No, no.
Holy shit, is that thing horrible?
No, it's horrible. Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason I would wear it. I mean, no reason. I would never wear that watch.
Yep. They gave the 1908, which is their dress watch. They gave that a little bit of an upgrade. They did a new GMT, which was like the black on black with the green hand. Nothing that was like, wow, nothing from them, right?
Nothing.
But Tudor has some pretty cool stuff.
So, do you? A huge Tudor fan.
Yeah.
Sporting one today.
Yep.
And my next watch might be the recently released Tudor GMT. I haven't bought it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
And or it could be. I think they released a new chrono this year. I think they maybe a more slimline, or was that the GMT that they trimmed down the case on? Or was it both?
They could did. The trim down one was the GMT.
Okay.
Yeah, the Black Bay GMT. Yeah.
Yeah. The Black Bay GMT. And the reason I want the trim down one is because I want to show off these big hands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to show off the big watch. I want to show off the big handstand.
I know.
So, but I do. I love that. I love that. Tudor really stole the show. Yeah, I would agree that they did. And
that's kind of a Coke-ish thing, right? Yep.
It's a Coke, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's a wonderful looking timepiece right there.
Yep,
wonderful.
Yep, that one's good. Great. And then the other one they did was let's see if I can just click on Tudor. So they did. Let's see. Anyway, I'll find it.
They did another Black Bay, yeah. But it was just black on black.
It looks a lot like a sub. Yep.
It does. It is totally sub S. So here's my question is, and you know, a lot of times you hear people kind of, you know, knocking off on, it's just a ripoff and a knock. I don't ever hear that about Tudor. I mean, maybe I don't run in the circles that do that, but I don't hear like, oh, well, that's a poor man's Rolex, or, oh, well, that's just a knockoff of, like, I don't hear that about the brand. And I think that they've done another episode of what could the PGA Tour have done differently.
Exactly.
Or better.
Exactly.
Or better.
They need to hire them. This is the monochrome.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. I love that. I think that's fantastic
sharp.
Looking
time. Yeah. Which one would you get? I wouldn't get the rubber. I think I'd go for either the fire or the three link.
I'm a three link guy. I've got a three link, but I still think I don't know, the five link just I don't know. It's not my style. I'd three link it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good looking watch.
I can tell you, I wouldn't go for the rubber.
No.
If I was going to, I'd go for like the, whatever their Explorer model is or something like that. I'd have to go that route, but not non-rotating bezel kind of setup. So
yeah,
I'd want something a little more. Actually, I'd probably just get a Hamilton if I was going to go with a rubber rubber bracelet.
Yeah.
No reason to go down that road. Or why are you putting a thousands of dollar watch on a plastic bracelet?
Right. No, I think it looks best on either the 3 or the 5. And I tend to lean towards the 3 like you do. I like the Jubilee on the Rolex side.
Yeah, I haven't grown
as much on the 5 Link on the Tudor yet. But I'm sure they'll keep, you know, messing with it or whatnot. But no, those are good releases. Both of those right there are fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah.
I thought so.
And
so
last year they had the 54, which is the small, like the 37 millimeter Black Bay, right? And that was cool. Yeah. 2 years in a row, they've killed it.
Yeah. They're setting themselves up for failure moving forward if they keep up with these lofty expectations. For
exactly.
Sure. But I don't think they will. I mean, I think there's something to be said. So, have you been reading about, or have you read or heard anything about the potential of the luxury watch market heading into recession?
Yeah, I mean, so you look at the secondary watches, and obviously, if things start slowing for the consumer, you start seeing more of that come on. A lot of correlation with some crypto stuff, because people are flipping these things and trading them and this and that. There was a lot of speculation last year about Rolex doing away with the Pepsi. They said the Pepsi bezel on the GMT was too hard to make at the red and everything. It was bleeding. And that's the Magnum watch. And it's, you know, it's outside of the Daytona, it's probably one of their second or third most in-demand watches. And like, that was a lot of speculation there. They didn't do that. They didn't discontinue that thing. They only discontinued a couple watches this year. The reason I say that is because they can scale down production so much to where demand looks like it's still flat or up, right? Like you said, they control everything. They can't control demand, but they can. I'm sorry, maybe I said that wrong. They control supply. They control the supply, and they bring that down to where the demand is still there. Do I think it could? I mean, obviously, I don't recommend buying a lot of secondary, you know, market watches. You know, I like buying them more, you know, one-on-one kind of thing. But they do such a good job with their brand. I don't see a big impact, but who knows if it does. Well, you know, we can buy more.
So we can't buy more. Yes. So here's my take on it, and I think it translates over to the bourbon world, and not just bourbon, but any premium spirits world, and or super premium spirits world, I guess, or highly allocated spirits, in that. We've seen in the past 10 years, we've seen such an influx of affordable quality spirits, bourbon specifically, with whether it's been a name, a brand that's been rejuvenated. It could be a completely fucking made up name of somebody's kid that they've stuck on something and they bought, they've sourced the product from somewhere.
Yep.
It could be somebody that just had a passion about opening up a vodka bar in Vegas, and all of a sudden they decided that shit, we're just going to go and buy, we're just going to buy up all the stock of all the vintage whiskey.
Yeah.
I know how to blend whiskey, and it's happening, and I know how to do it. And I think these things have come along and they've built enough interest. So, I mean, if you go on Instagram or whatever your social media of choice is, and/or your TV provider, right? It's listening and looking at everything else you're looking at. I mean, you're seeing all these like, So we got to get somebody back on. Maybe we ought to get Christian back on and talk through some of these like budget friendly copy watches. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, it's very easy to scroll through your page and your post, and who knows how many are going to pop up on my feed now that we're talking about this and the phone's listening. But you're going to find dozens of budget dive watches for $300, $400, $500, maybe $100.
Yeah.
I don't know. Shit, are they any good? I don't know if they're any good. I mean, a lot of people are getting free watches and they're saying good things about them. I don't know what they look like and how they operate over time. I was looking at the Tudor stuff the other day and something popped up on Etsy and it was like, oh, hey, look at this. And I'm like, a $600 Black Bay GMT just got released. Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not gonna waste that $600. No chance in that. Just it's not even reasonable. But I think that's the reason for some of those articles. That's not anything that I've been reading that they're talking about. That's the reason why. But I think that's the reason why is if you don't really know what you're getting, right, and you're not. Collecting is probably a bad way to say. If you're not a purveyor of luxury watches, then does it really matter if it winds itself up, if it keeps time accurately, and it looks like and I can spin the bezel around, then does it really make a difference, right? So
no, it's all about what you like, as an individual. If you look down and it makes you feel good, makes you feel confident, makes you feel like it's something unique and it's meaningful to you, then go for it. You don't have to collect what everybody else is wanting to collect or wear what everybody else is wanting to wear. And there's a lot of trophies out there in the bourbon world. There's a lot of trophies out there in the watch world, et cetera, et cetera. And you asked about the softening of the luxury. I told you I don't know if it will or won't. I can tell you one thing is I kind of hope it does, because you should be able to walk into an AD and buy an Explorer or a Datejust or whatever. You should be able to buy something when you walk in. There's nothing there right now, right? It hasn't been something you can actually walk in and buy in years. And it's like, this isn't quite way it should be, right? You should be able to walk. So maybe you can't walk in and buy a GMT or a Daytona or a Sub. Okay. But you should be able to buy something, right? And I hope it does.
Give me an Explorer too, right?
Exactly.
What about an Air King?
Yeah, you should be able to buy those.
One by one of golf's greats for many years. Still does.
Yeah, exactly. Fact. So there's plenty of stuff. And then, like, to your point, from an affordability perspective and new manufacturers and more niche plays and micro brands, tons of them out there popping up all the time, making cool stuff. Yeah. There's
plagiarism.
Not only that, but they have their own stuff too, and it's pretty unique and it's cool. There's a lot of cool things out there. Yeah. Rabbit hole for sure. Just like with your bourbon bars. Yeah. Tons of things out there.
I knew I'd get you going on that one. I knew that'd be a surefire thing.
Do you see a softening in the bourbon? Is it easier to get allocations now than it was before?
No. No. I don't think so. I think that what we have is we've got a more educated consumer base. And I think I think two things. I think that there is a little bit of frustration. I think there's a little bit of allocation fatigue,
mm-hmm.
in that, like, hey, I'm not gonna wait. I'm not gonna buy. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look at the receipt, but this bottle, it's Jack Daniel's 12 year. Mm-hmm. It's 107 proof, I think. Yeah, 107. And I think I paid, I'm gonna call it $90. And that may or may not be including tax, but I know I paid 80 or somewhere between 70 and 90 for that. And then about the same, the 10 year was, $10 or $15 cheaper. I paid 150 for the Woodford Reserve 121.2. Here's my thing. Are there better bottles on the shelf that cost less? On my shelf even, and I'd say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are there better bottles that cost more? I'd also say yes on my shelf. What I would say is at retail, and if you want an opportunity to experience that, I don't feel like I wasted money on any of those. In fact, I went back and bought replacements. So, because I'm probably going to go through a couple of these pretty quick. Not on the show. I don't know. It might be more fun if I did. But I'm going to go, but I mean, they're good enough that I want to drink them, right? I mean, they're good. But I don't know that they're better than anything else. Like the Woodford Reserve, like is Old Forester, is it better than Old Forester 1920 for $100 less? Yeah, probably not. But it's good. It's different. Yeah. It, there's some similarities. Yeah. But so, yeah, I mean, I guess that I'd say that the, I think the consumer's gotten a little smarter, and the consumer's looking at, well, what else could I buy that is available that that's going to do it for me? I mean, I think that that's the that's if there's softening, I think that's a softening. So, and I think that also it, depending on where you shop, I think the store owners are probably doing things a little different. So, you know, most people are going to like the point system kind of thing now, and yeah. And loyalty, you know, right? That's yeah. So, you know, a little bit of a disadvantage in that. I mean, I don't have any shit. I bought so much stuff from those guys. That's what I heard yesterday. I was like, well, you got plenty of points for that. And I'm like, yeah, I should. but, you know, it's but like, here's the thing. If I'm out somewhere and shopping and going around, like, I'm not going to go and buy a bottle of Evan Williams Bottle and Bond from some random store that I just happened upon. Right. I mean, unless I'm somewhere that I just couldn't bring it with me. Yep. But if I see something and it's there and it's available, okay, I'll pick it up. But if I'm going to buy like a case of Old Grandad 114, I'm buying it across the street. If I'm going to buy a case of Mellow Corn, because that's I would have no issues pouring any of these for anybody and saying that's a damn good glass of whiskey. But I'll just buy it. They just did a Rittenhouse barrel pick, and I'll take a case. That's fine, because I know I'm going to drink it, right? I mean, it's a great rye mixer to go in Manhattans and you know, anything, maybe an American Trilogy, who knows.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But yeah, buy special things when you come across them. Buy your regular stuff where you can get your regular stuff, where you should be buying it at.
So. There you go. Perfect. Yep. Good chat.
Louisiana, they say.
Louisiana.
What did Chuck Berry say? Oh, Louisiana. all right. Well, I guess we're heading down to the Bayou country and sipping on some Jack Daniel's 12 year. We gotta find some Cajun bourbon, Dan, or this Cajun whiskey.
That's Sazerac, right?
Well, the house is there at least.
Yeah, the house is there at least. Yeah, exactly. All right.
All right. There you go. That's me. What you got?
I'm all good, man. All good.
All right. Yeah. Do you have any access to tickets to Quail Hollow? Give us a call.
There you go.
We'd like that. Till next time. Cheers.